This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bullying in schools can have devastating effects, from anxiety and depression to lower grades and even longer-term harm. But one of the biggest hurdles in addressing it is that parents and schools don't always agree on whether a situation counts as bullying. So joining us is Dr. Karen Healy, Honorary Principal Fellow at the University of Queensland. Karen, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much for having me on Drive, Warren. Lovely to meet you.
When we talk about bullying in schools, I suppose what's the definition itself? Is that often a source of disagreement?
Yes, well, it is quite a complex definition, and it makes sense when you think about it. I think we've all, you know, experienced or witnessed, or you know, certainly been present when we felt that bullying is occurring. So bullying can be any aggressive behaviour, so physical or verbal or social exclusion. It can be carried out in person and or online. And bullying is different from other kinds of aggression in that it's not a one-off. It tends to be repeated over time. It's not accidental. It is a deliberate intent to hurt, and it is hurtful to the person on the receiving end. And there is a power difference, with the victim feeling unable to change the situation. So we know from research that, you know, when all of those components are together, that it can be particularly harmful to kids and young people. So that, I guess that's why the definition is important. But because it does involve those different elements, it can be quite difficult to assess.
Karen, I find it quite strange that parents would disagree on it. I mean, if a child is feeling bullied, that's how they're feeling. And I would imagine if I had kids, I'd want them to know that they're hurting another kid and to stop doing it. Why? What are they disagreeing over?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, that a parent probably is well in tune with when their child is upset. And, you know, you can certainly verify when the child is hurt. But whether or not, there's a couple of different factors that can happen there. So whether there's an actual intent to hurt. So for instance, it might be that, you know, a child is using a nickname that the child doesn't like. The child might find it very hurtful, but it might not be intended to be mean. It might be intended to be friendly or joking. Similarly, you know, sometimes conflict can occur where kids both do things to each other that are unkind or hurtful, and so that wouldn't be regarded, although it might be hurtful and it might not be acceptable behaviour at school, it might not necessarily be bullying if both are giving and getting it. And in fact, sometimes that can be a bit of a red herring in schools, because sometimes there's really deliberate, intended, planned behaviour to try to provoke or upset another child, and that behaviour can be quite subtle. However, if a child reacts in an emotional or aggressive way back, that can be what is in fact more visible. And sometimes, you know, schools might think that the aggression is actually coming from the child who might be being bullied and is reacting in an aggressive way. It might be difficult and take a while for them to really disentangle and understand what's happening.
Something that I suppose I've learned as an adult is, you know, as I've become aware, as I've grown older, is that bullying, you might think, oh, look, it's happening at school, it's limited to that, but it actually impacts how you behave as an adult, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So, you know, there are studies that show in both ways. So if kids bully at school, that increases their risk of also bullying as an adult. So that translates into workplace bullying, into partner violence. But also if kids get bullied at school, it increases their chance of getting bullied as an adult in the workplace, as a young adult, in intimate relationships. So getting into a pattern of either bullying others or being bullied is not helpful and can continue over time into adult life, not to mention the mental health impacts of it into adult life.
Definitely. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Healy from the University of Queensland about what happens when parents and schools don't agree on whether behaviour is bullying or not. Yeah, Karen, you touched on this, that some kids might say that, oh, look, I was only joking. How do schools work out the intent? Because I imagine it's very easy, if you're going to get into trouble as a kid, to say, oh, no, I was just joking, whether you were or not. How do they work that out?
Right. Well, that is exactly, I think that, you know, that is one of the sticking points, and it's quite complex because, you know, we've all heard kids say that on the movies or in real life, and sometimes they might be only joking. So, you know, it is quite an Australian thing to do to, you know, have a go at your mates, you know, if the joking is, you know, mutually accepted and mutually, you know, done with kind intent. However, it can be really difficult for schools to find that out. I guess, though, you know, sometimes you need to try to intervene to find out what's happening. So, for instance, if there was a case of a child saying something that another child found upsetting or doing something that was annoying or upsetting towards them, most kids, most people, when they found out that what they were doing was upsetting, they would stop doing that. However, you know, if that information doesn't influence them or if they change to more subtle behaviours and it becomes more apparent over time that it is a pattern of behaviour, sometimes it takes a little while for schools to be able to assess whether it's bullying or not. Or you know, it might be that the other way around entirely, that a parent might think it's bullying and not realise that their child might actually be doing something that's feeding into that as well. So, for instance, you know, sometimes kids, you know, might misinterpret a situation and might end up acting aggressively when no hurt was intended. So, you know, it can go either way, but very often it takes a little while of trying to address the problem to really work out what is going on.
Let's talk about, I suppose, popularity. You know, there's always the popular kids at school, and then there's the, you know, I was part of the nerds, the unpopular
the rest
ones.
Of it.
But it creates, I suppose, that power imbalance that you're talking about, doesn't it? So just by default, being part of this popular group puts you on a different level of power. I mean, that's kind of bullying in itself, isn't it?
Well, it depends how, you know, we've all got a different parent, different situation, and it depends how it is used, of course, but you're right, and that is another reason why it's very difficult to assess whether a behaviour is bullying or not, because how do you measure power? How do you tell if someone's powerful? You can tell if it's a physical situation, if someone perhaps is physically stronger, but it's harder to assess things like popularity, and that is certainly, you know, the case that, you know, sometimes the kids who are bullied are very well set up in the school. You know, they can be, you know, captains and sporting leaders, and, you know, their family can have a lot of influence in the school, and it can really be quite invisible and difficult to capture that power, but that can make a big difference.
And I'm thinking also, I mean, I don't know what the proper term is, but I imagine, you know, some kids are more sensitive than others, so the same act may not be interpreted as bullying by one kid, but the other one, it could be completely devastating.
That is very true. So it depends on lots of different factors. So for instance, I've worked a lot with kids who are bullied, and, you know, to give you an example, I've had over the years quite a few kids say to me they're bullied because of some particular physical feature they might have, say, you know, their nose or something like that. And you can't tell from looking at kids which kids are picked on for that reason. And you can't necessarily, I had in the same day, I had two, or not maybe not in the same, maybe in the same week, I had one kid tell me that they were called this particular nickname based on an animal, and they really liked it. And another kid tell me that that was how they were bullied and they really hated it. So it really is quite subjective. It depends on the intent and, you know, our different personalities, our histories, and whether it's triggering for us. So it really is quite a subjective experience that has to do with the person, you know, who is being targeted, but also the intent of the other person. It can be quite difficult for observers to be able to assess some of that information about power and intent.
What can a parent do then if their child is being, I suppose, bullied, or at least the parents believe their child is being bullied, but maybe the school disagrees or the other parents disagree? I mean, I'd be furious. I'd be like, I don't care. My kid's not feeling good.
And it is, you know, totally the parent's job to be an advocate for their child and to care for their child. Firstly, I would say well done to parents if your child talks to you about it, because half of the time kids don't tell any adult, and sometimes kids tell no one, and they're all alone if that's the case. So just in sharing it with you as a parent, we know, but just listening to them, understanding, being in their side, just commiserating with them, but that in itself will will help reduce the child's stress and decrease their risk of ongoing mental health problems. So just listening in itself helps. Sometimes by talking it through with the child, the parents are able to help a child come up with a plan, a child or teenager, I should say. And for some issues, that is enough. So if we're talking about things like verbal comments and or social exclusion, sometimes the child can work out a way with the parent's support to approach the situation and actually address the issue. And when that's the case, it really helps the child feel more confident in being able to address issues in future. Or the other thing the parent can do is talk to the school. So in the experience we've had with our research at University of Queensland, we've certainly found that when schools are aware of specific instances, very often they're able to do something to address the issue. So if the child is not able to address the issue themselves, they try and it doesn't work, or if ever the child is unsafe, and that includes cyber, really detrimental material being put online, or physical safety, for instance, or just really distressed, it is important the child speaks to the school, because often they're able to do things to improve the situation. And it doesn't need to be bullying for the school to want to do something about it. So there are many instances in which behaviour might be really hurtful and inappropriate, but just a one-off, it can still be addressed, so make sure it doesn't happen again. So it's still very worthwhile parents starting their conversation with the school and certainly supporting their child to address it. It may be more realistic to expect a series of conversations rather than something to be able to be addressed immediately, because it will take some time for the school to work out what's going on.
And it's awful to think that a kid is alone, not being able to tell anyone. Totally. That's a horrible place to be in.
It is, yeah.
Great to chat with you, Karen. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but really important conversation. Thanks for chatting with us on Drive.
Thank you so much for involving me, and best wishes for your ongoing show. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you. Dr. Karen Healy, Honorary Principal Fellow at the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.